You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers might be just what the Chicago Bears need to get back on track. Welcome into this Crossover Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today I'll be joined by Daniel Wade from Locked On Chargers to let us know everything that's gone wrong for Los Angeles this season that come into this matchup with a similar level of disappointment as the Chicago Bears. But as we'll find out, it seems like the Chargers, from a strength and weaknesses standpoint, might line up for the Bears to fix some of the things that have been ailing them early this season and build some confidence moving forward toward the second half of the season. Real quick, just a reminder to submit your questions for our weekly mailbag podcast. Every Friday, we take your questions, preferably through our voicemail line. Give us a call and leave a message. Phone number is 312-620-8590. If you don't want to hear your voice on the podcast, which I understand, but we prefer to get audio. It is an audio medium, and we love to hear from you. But if you don't want it to be your voice, you can text in your questions to that same phone number. You can tweet at LockedOnBears. You can even send in a full email, LockedOnBears@gmail.com. So there's no excuse. If you have a question you want answered on the show, there's plenty of ways to get it in. And then you tune in on Friday and hear the answer right here. We'll get to Daniel Wade and the Los Angeles Chargers here in a little bit, but I think we need to take a minute here to start with the developing situation with a Chicago Bears players-only meeting taking place at some point this week in order to kind of hash things out and address some of the frustration and the concerns, perhaps, on where this team is and feeling like there's some things that need to be said that maybe they don't want to say in front of the coaches. And not that it's necessarily a sign of a problem with the coaching staff, but it is more about, I think, creating a place where players can say whatever they want without fearing any repercussions. And again, I think there is a difference there between, you know, wanting to, is it not trying to find an opportunity to say bad things about the coaches per se, but just to be able to feel like they have an open and honest platform and an opportunity to kind of say what the players are feeling and really feel that leadership collectively. The idea for the meeting first came out earlier this week when Eddie Jackson was a guest on 670 The Score, and he had expressed some desire to be able to hold a meeting like this. And then I believe on Tuesday, it was Taylor Gabriel who confirmed that a players-only meeting is coming.
How are we going to respond? Not the coaches. You know, this is like players. Like, we got to call on ourselves. You know, we got to call a meeting amongst players. So, look, man, enough is enough. You know, like, we know the type of team we have. So, I don't want to hear about coaching or play calling. If you watch the game, you have to see it. The swagger wasn't out there. You know, the pride of the game. Everyone is flying around. The energy that Coach Nagy talks about. You know, we don't have that right now. It's like when something go bad, everyone gets their head down, puts their head down. You know, and it's sad because the type of players, the type of team we have. You know, we too good for that. So I feel like this is for us. You know, it's for us, the players, to call on each other. You know, without the coaches Tuesday to come in and just talk, like, just have a little players meeting if we have to, just to see what we have to do to get it back rolling. Like, we don't care about the play calling. No one, you know, the fans booing. It's time for the players to step up and just say enough is enough, you know, because we too good. You know, it really hurts. That's why the game, like, this game really hurt guys because, like, we too good for that, you know, and especially to see defense for us to let somebody put up 36 points. Like, that's not us. You know what I mean? That's not us, so we just got to get it together, get out of identity, and get back rolling, get back to the football we know we can play.
Again, that's Eddie Jackson this week on 670 The Score. And he makes a good point, I think, that it doesn't always come down to, you know, the coaching staff necessarily, that it is an energy thing. And it's not so much, at least defensively, a play calling thing, that it is, it's guys not playing to the standard that they hold themselves to and not playing to the energy level that we had come to expect from this team last season, and guys maybe struggling a little bit with fighting through some of the adversity and trying to maintain that motivation and just true energy level on the field every single snap. That swagger, like you mentioned, is just missing a little bit from this Bears defense and really from this whole Bears team. And they're letting the negative plays kind of linger with them. Like you said, putting their heads down a little bit. And they just aren't playing with that same energy. And I think sometimes we've seen it this season. We didn't really see it so much in London against the Raiders or this past week against the Chargers. But we certainly saw it against Washington when the turnovers were kind of getting back into the mix of things that we had kind of come to expect from this defense. And when they're able to kind of string together some big plays and some big moments, that's when you see sort of the good old Bears defense. But between Oakland and New Orleans, they lost a lot of that identity to the type of defense and the type of football that this team wants to play on the field. And I think a players-only meeting in this case can be a very healthy thing. It can be a very productive thing for this team. And I don't think it's a sign of a disconnect between the players and coaches as much as it is for an opportunity for the players to kind of take accountability for their own actions and their own leadership and take things into their hands to try and make a difference moving forward. I think the players' meeting can help get some of their confidence back and really increase their performance. It's the same kind of effect you could get from taking Blue Chew. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And because they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, it's not just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no going to the doctors or waiting in line at the pharmacy or dealing with any of that awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for Locked On Bears listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. You just pay $5 for shipping. Again, it's BlueChew.com, promo code locked on to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. As we look ahead to the matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers, I see right now on mybookie.ag that the betting line has already gotten down to just Bears -4. The odds seem to be swinging a little bit against their favor, which makes it all the more intriguing to lay some money down on a bounce-back game from Mitchell Trubisky and this Bears defense. If you're looking to get off the sidelines and win big, now is the time to play with MyBookie. It's the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college sports every weekend. They have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sportsbook on the planet. And the best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $500, they'll give you $500. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, locked on, to double your cash at mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Daniel Wade. He's one of the co-hosts of Locked On Chargers here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and he's a holdover from the Chargers' time in San Diego. So, Daniel, I think a lot of Bears fans maybe that haven't watched the Los Angeles Chargers this year, I think nationally we had higher expectations for what was going to go on in LA. Obviously, it's been a disappointment, which I think sounds familiar for a lot of Chicago Bears fans, but if you had to diagnose sort of the bigger picture, why the Los Angeles Chargers are 2-5 heading into this matchup, do you look at injuries? Do you look at coaching? Do you look at players not achieving to the level that they were supposed to? What's sort of been the bigger picture reason for the struggles so far?
you can't really boil it down to one thing. I mean, obviously with 11 players on injured reserve, that has to play a part in it. And I think the biggest injury has to be Derwin James and what he brought to the defense last year and what you're lacking in that area this season. I mean, that's huge, but the coaching has been an issue. I mean, turnovers in the red zone. I mean, you have 5 turnovers this season in goal to go situations. So I think you have to look at those things. I mean, obviously it's spotlighted because last week it ends up on first and goal from the 1 yard line and you fail to put it in and add insult to injury by fumbling it as well and not even being able to tie it up with a field goal. But I think there has been some underperforming players. I mean, the Chargers gave Travis Benjamin an extension going into the season, which was very questionable. And all he did was, you know, 6 catches before he landed on injured reserve. And the Chargers really haven't had another option at receiver. Getting Hunter Henry back obviously helps. And hopefully this week getting Russell Okung back helps. But as far as the coaching goes, that they cannot escape blame for this either. I mean, some really questionable play calls, kind of like the Bears last week against the Saints, where you don't really see the offense open up until too late in the game to really make a comeback. And I think part of the problem is just predictable play calling problem. Part of the problem is just a lack of weapons offensively. And then Phillip Rivers turning the ball over. I mean, he's turned the ball over 8 times every game except for the last game against the Titans, where he had a few interceptable balls, and then the game against the Dolphins. So I'm sure you understand, but it's an all of the above type of situation.
Yeah, see, I look at this Chargers offense, and I think on paper with Hunter Henry back in the mix, you see Keenan Allen and, you know, Mike Williams, there's some talent there, and of course Henry at tight end, and then Gordon and Eckler in the backfield. It feels like there should be better offensive production there, and I'm sure it feels like that in Los Angeles as well. But, you know, do you blame some of the offensive line and injuries for holding them back there, or why, or is it more play calling, or what is it offensively that I'm guessing it's probably a mix?
Yeah, it's a mix. I mean, the offensive line was questionable going into the season, and that was before we learned of the Russell Okung pulmonary embolism. And then now this week, Forrest Lamp goes on injured reserve. Last week, you had Pro Bowl center Mike Pouncey go on injured reserve. And I think the biggest thing with the Chargers offense right now, Lauren, is just the inability to finish off drives. Like I said before, the 5 turnovers and goal to go situations is just ridiculous. But a lot of times they've been able to move the ball up and down the field. Some missed field goals, 4 missed field goals this year has hurt them too. So I think for the Chargers, the offensive line is a really weak spot that I think even without Hakeem Hicks, the Bears will do fine with this week. But it was not a very talented group going into it, but the injuries have only made it worse, and the Chargers have just been unable to overcome it and really score points when they have the opportunity to, doing really bad in the red zone this season. I mean, their efficiency in the red zone has been better, but it's been pretty bad all season long.
I think Bears fans kind of go into this game not too worried about the Chargers offense, but worried about the Bears offense against any defense, and this week it happens to be the Los Angeles Chargers. And not that it's a defense that's been dominating, you know, in any stretch of the word there, but they've been okay. They've kept the Chargers in pretty much every game this season. They have some talent kind of sprinkled in there. I mean, obviously Joey Bosa is the name that, of course, takes all the headlines. But as I kind of look through that defense, with the loss of Derwin James, does the secondary and particularly, you know, the two safeties become the biggest weakness? Because, you know, I like Casey Hayward, I like Desmond King, but it seems like there's maybe some vulnerabilities in the middle there, even as you come down to the linebacker positions with some young and old there. Is that a fair assessment, or where do you see the strengths and weaknesses of this defense?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment. I think when you look at the Chargers statistically, what they're worst at is stopping the run. I mean, holding Derrick Henry to 90 yards last week was considered a win for the Chargers defensive line, minus their 2 starters, Brandon Mebane and Justin Jones. But when you're looking at the secondary and the absence of Derwin James, that forced Adrian Phillips into his role, which then led to Adrian Phillips breaking his forearm, which leads to Roderick Teamer, an undrafted free agent, starting the game at strong safety. And Rayshon Jenkins has actually been somewhat of a bright spot, specifically in coverage, but his missed tackles this year have just totally always led to giant plays for the opposing offense. Anthony Lynn talked about it this week. He hasn't missed many tackles, but the ones he's missed have been huge plays. So I think Rayshon Jenkins has been better in coverage. Roderick Teamer has been exposed at a few different times this year. And I think the talent is not where you'd want it to be, but the lack of communication, I mean, leading to easy touchdowns, have absolutely eaten this team alive. And with the linebacking core, I mean, you have Thomas Davis, an aging veteran who seems to be a step behind his normal pace, which is, you know, to be expected at his age. But the young guys haven't been able to get in there and really find a solid footing to contribute on the defense. Drew Tranquil, the fourth round pick last week, got some extended playing time, had some lapses in coverage, and it just, the Chargers can't seem to work it out with the safeties or the linebackers right now. And it's been somewhat of a revolving door, less so with the safeties, just because the attrition that has, just because of the injuries that they've had at the position.
Last one for you, Daniel, and then I'll turn it over to you to ask me some Bears questions. You know, the Bears are going to be favored in this one, you know, from a record standpoint, and I think from a betting standpoint. What if the Chargers are going to win this game, what will that look like? What will be the reason why this is the week that the Chargers are able to put this together and defeat a team like the Bears?
If the Chargers are going to win this week, I think it's going to take a defensive effort from the Chargers to keep the offense in this game, because the offense has struggled against any top tier defense. I mean, even going back to last year, their toughest games were the ones against the Broncos and the Ravens, and the Patriots dismantled them in the playoffs. But for the Chargers, they really need to avoid turnovers in this game. You have two fumbles last week. You lose one of them. You've had a ton of turnovers this season already. You cannot afford to do that against a team like the Bears, who need pretty much all the help that they can get offensively. So for the Chargers, you cannot set them up with prime scoring opportunities, because this Chargers offense has been mediocre at best this season and hasn't been able to cash in. So to set up the Chicago Bears for easy points on an offense that, I mean, I don't think has eclipsed 300 total yards this season of offense, I mean, you just absolutely can't have it. And then other than that, play calling wise, the Chargers need to come out and be up tempo. They need to not let the Bears get substitutions in, try to hold back that pass rush by just keeping them on the field and trying to get mismatches with guys like Austin Ekeler on linebackers or safeties. They have to be able to do that, and they have to be able to run the ball more effectively. Melvin Gordon has been atrocious since he's come back, averaging around 2 yards per carry, and they're not going to win this game with under 40 rushing yards, in my opinion. So there has to be somewhat of a balance, even though realistically we know it's going to come down to what Phillip Rivers is able to do, and if he's able to find explosive plays without putting the ball in the air and risking too much and trying to avoid those turnovers.
Well, we know the Bears defense will be looking to make plays on some Phillip Rivers throws, but we also know the Chargers defense will be looking for the same against Mitchell Trubisky. We'll flip our attention to the other side of this matchup, looking at the Bears next on Locked On Bears.
So first of all, obviously, Mitch Trubisky missed a few games. He comes back last week, has a really rough game against the Saints, and the Saints have a really good defense. But as Chargers fans, this podcast knows that Chase Daniels is not somebody that you want to see. I mean, he played with a bunch of backups and really knocked the Chargers out of the playoffs one season. So, I mean, I might be naive, and I haven't watched every single game in its entirety, but is it totally out of the question for Chargers fans to wonder if they're lucky that they're getting Mitchell Trubisky this week?
I think it's not totally out of the question. No, absolutely not. I think there's certainly a debate in Chicago right now about which quarterback gives them the best chance to win every game, and Mitchell Trubisky is certainly the much more high-variance quarterback, which when you have an offense that's struggling a little bit and you have a very strong defense around him and presumably a group of skill players that should be performing better than they are, that maybe a little bit more stability at the quarterback position with fewer of the highs, but certainly fewer of the lows, might be enough to help this offense stabilize a little bit. And we saw that in the games when Mitchell Trubisky didn't play. But I don't think the Trubisky that we saw against the New Orleans Saints is what Mitch is locked into, even though it kind of feels that way in Chicago. A lot of fans are kind of ready to put the bust label on him move on before too long. And I think they ultimately will eventually. They're not going to lock into him long term. But for now, I think there's some opportunity for him to bounce back at some point. I don't know. He's not going to, you know, flip a switch and just turn it on against the Chargers. But I do think at this point, Chase Daniel probably would be the better option. But we're not going to see it unless Mitchell Trubisky gets hurt again.
His escapability is still something that worries me. And I think the Chicago Bears offensive line has done okay in pass protection. They're about middle of the pack and allowing sacks, but they've been pretty bad against the run. And that's pretty bad running the football and opening up running lanes for the Chicago Bears offense. Obviously, going into this game, you know that the Chargers defense's weakness, the biggest one right now, is the rush defense. How do you think that the Chicago Bears are going to try to get that running game on track and try to take advantage of a pretty soft interior defensive line for the Chargers?
Yeah, the Bears are coming off a game where they ran the ball 7 times and threw it 54, and it's obviously been a heavy point of criticism for Matt Nagy and the Bears offense. They have not been able to effectively run the ball really in any game this season. They kind of got some different things going against the Denver Broncos a little bit, but it hasn't been anywhere close to what they wanted after, you know, making some changes at the position and, you know, trading up for David Montgomery in the draft and signing Mike Davis and getting rid of Jordan Howard. And a lot of it has been offensive line based. Some of it has been running backs maybe not necessarily taking the best lanes, but I do think it's going to try and be an emphasis this week. But Matt Nagy's not afraid to abandon it, and for better and usually for worse, when it's just not working, he's not going to keep handing it off for 1 or 2 yards. So if they can get it going early against the Chargers, I think that's going to be the key, because that was sort of Matt Nagy's answer for why they abandoned it against the Saints. That, you know, his first 3 runs went for 0, 1, and 2 yards, and then they fumbled it on the next run after that, and then in the second half, their first run, they fumbled it again, and he felt like, well, we're not getting any yards and we're turning it over twice, so we need to keep this offense moving, we need to pass. And so I think establishing it early against the Chargers will give the team some confidence to be able to kind of stick with it. I'd like to see the Bears do a better job of getting better box numbers and trying to spread defenses out and not get so much bulk in the middle there and trying to run into these piles, because I think that's where they start having some of their problems. So it definitely starts and ends in the trenches up front. And if the Chargers can hold up there, then they can get the Bears offense a little one-dimensional and have a little bit more success defensively.
Well, and that's the key. I mean, I think the Chargers go into it with the same game plan too many times, just getting into shotgun, running right behind center where that's not necessarily a strength. And when they've been successful, it's getting the offensive line moving, kind of neutralizing the other defensive line. But I think if there was a chance for the Bears to have success running the football, it might be in this game. But let's flip it over to the defensive side of the ball for the Bears. And really, the last 3 teams you played, the Steelers, the Broncos, and the Titans, have all had a deficiency of some sort stopping the run. And that has not helped the Chargers, not eclipsing 50 rushing yards in any of those games. It's been really tough. But with the Bears defense, it's hard. I mean, we can't go the entire show without talking about Khalil Mack, a guy that Charger fans are very familiar with his time in Oakland. And I think the pass rush is going to be big in this game. And I want to know if you think that the interior guys that you have left in there, Eddie Goldman and those guys, do you think that they will be able to get enough push in the pocket to not let Phillip Rivers step up and deliver his throws? Because last week we saw a lot of Phillip Rivers kind of falling away, floating and throwing balls off his back foot, and seeing some balls that maybe should have been intercepted falling to the turf. So do you think that without Akeem Hicks, obviously, that the Bears will still be able to get a good enough pass rush to kind of rattle Phillip Rivers? Because I think that is a huge key. And once Phillip Rivers gets rattled, I mean, who knows which way the game is going after that?
I have my doubts, just because, you know, if you look at the last 2 weeks, the Bears have played decent offensive lines with the Raiders and the Saints, and technically 3 weeks, the last 2 games, because there was a bye-in between there. But regardless, the Khalil Mack has been pretty much non-existent in terms of pressure. I mean, he's been getting a lot of attention from opposing offensive line, which is why he hasn't been able to really get after the quarterback in either of the last 2 games. But the Bears haven't been able to take advantage everywhere else in terms of the interior guys getting that push, or even Leonard Floyd and Aaron Lynch on the opposite side rotating around trying to get, you know, just sort of that balance to Khalil Mack. So, you know, the Bears have had some flashes from some of their interior pass rushers, Roy Robertson, Harrison, Bilal Nichols, a couple of guys with some explosive ability, but we just haven't seen anyone else really do it at a consistent level this season, at least not since Akeem Hicks has been out. So, you know, maybe the Chargers offensive line can be what the doctor ordered in that regard, and playing against a line where you've got presumably backups filling in for injured starters that could kind of be the difference there, that it wouldn't surprise me if all of a sudden this is the week that the Bears pass rush wakes up a little bit and Khalil Mack gets home a couple times and the interior starts to collapse the pocket. But the last 2 weeks have been trending in a poor direction in that regard. So I think the Chargers can at least have some confidence that maybe, you know, they can be the next line to kind of hold up against this Bears front seven.
Yeah, and I think for this game, I mean, outside of the interior in those trenches, if the Chargers can develop some plays downfield, they're going to need to get Keenan Allen more involved. I mean, after just going off the first 3 weeks, the last four games for Keenan Allen have been very rough, and I think that's a good matchup, Kyle Fuller and Keenan Allen, when they match up against each other. And Eddie Jackson's just one of my favorite players, but Keenan Allen's first three games, 29 catches, 404 yards, 3 touchdowns. Last four, 15 catches, 160 yards, and that's just not going to get it done against a secondary like the Bears have right now. But hey, we're going a little long, so I think we're going to wrap it up on that. It's going to be a good matchup this weekend, and if you know the Chargers and the Bears, you know it's probably going to be a very close game. And watch out for the onside kicks by the Bears. I mean, that could be a problem for the Chargers if it's anything like last week. But hey, Lauren, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate doing the show with you. I think we had a lot of good talking points there and gave some really good insight.
Absolutely. I always look forward to these crossover Wednesdays and getting the local perspective on these teams, because no one knows the Chargers better than you guys, and I like to think I know the Bears pretty well too, so I appreciate it. Thanks again to Daniel Wade from Locked On Chargers for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation, make sure you subscribe to keep up with more daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. You know we'll keep you up to date on whatever happens with players-only meetings and the injury report through the rest of the week. We'll have you all set before our Friday mailbag podcast, and then once the game's over on Monday, we'll be back with a recap and all the latest storylines from whatever happens in Bears-Chargers. So we've got your back, and we've got your daily opportunity to bear down.